Hello, my name is Carlos Cicero. I'm delighted and honored to be considered to serve you as one of your elders, and this is my testimony. I was born in Fort Myers, Florida, in a home where I was taught that I was a Christian, that I ought to act like a Christian. Shortly after I was born, my parents got divorced, and for as long as I can remember, they were separated, which meant that one weekend I would attend a Catholic Mass, and on the other, I would attend a Baptist church. Because of that, I followed the path of a child in the Roman Catholic Church. I was baptized as a Roman Catholic, received my first communion as a Roman Catholic, and did confession. But I also attended a Baptist church with my dad, and for a long time as a child, I found the Roman Catholic Church to be a lot weightier and tended to take it more seriously. I was a good kid in some ways, learned to talk to adults, worked hard, and wanted to do what was right, but I also valued being perceived to do what was right more than actually doing it. Often made up stories, lied, and deceived. I even remember cheating on a phonics test in first grade. We had those little setup dividers that are supposed to guard your eyes from temptation, but I used them as a cover for my sin. I would have said I was a Christian. I would have happily said that Jesus died for my sins and that I believed in God. Even the friends I grew up with as a kid running around the neighborhood believed in God. I didn't know anyone who didn't. We all got in lots of trouble and committed many sins, but we believed in God and all of us went to church and mostly to Roman Catholic Mass. It wasn't until I was in middle school that I met a peer who believed in a different God and another who said they were an atheist. For a long time, the way I thought of being a Catholic or a Baptist in my mind was that they were basically the same thing with a little bit of emphasis on one aspect more than another. In many ways, that's because that's what I was taught. In fact, it wasn't until I started attending another Baptist church where my now wife attended that we were talking one time and I mentioned the idea, well, we're basically the same thing, it's just a little bit different emphasis. My friend, my now wife, who isn't the jump into any theological debate kind of person, said without skipping a beat, that's not true. I said, yes, it is. She said, no, it isn't. And we kind of moved on. But that stuck with me, and it stuck in my mind. And not too long after that, I realized she's exactly right. That's not true. It's not just small differences or emphases. It's an entirely different religion. Now, of course, there's lots of similarity about who God is. But there's a great chasm that exists between what it means to be made right before a holy God between us. So at this new Baptist church we were attending, I started going to a youth group that had a Northland Bible College grad as their youth pastor. And there he taught us the Bible, he brought us to conferences, he helped us to read the Bible, and brought us to a summer camp where we learned the Bible and learned to read the Bible more. At that camp, we did all the fun camp things you expect. But we also spent the mornings reading the Bible on our own and reviewing what we read, and were commended to do this for the rest of our lives. And for the most part, I did. At some point, I started to be convicted of my sins. I realized I was a sinner. I was overwhelmed by my sin, my guilt, and my shame, and I called out to the Lord in repentance. In that Baptist church, as is common in many churches, you'd go down to the front of the service at the end and talk to the pastor and tell them what you were thinking about the state of your soul. So I did that. Shortly after, I was baptized, and if I'm honest, I really struggled even to know if I was a Christian then because I kept wrestling with sin, in particular sexual sin and sinning with my words. But I came to realize something was different. I now grieved over my sin. Before that point, I didn't care very much about sinning, really at all. There was a tinge of my conscience. I pushed through it like some kind of fear that needed to be avoided, and as if I had something to prove. I was hardening my heart. I was suppressing the truth. I didn't care about lying. I didn't care about using my tongue to deceive others or malign others or mock others. I didn't care what I put before my eyes or how others felt or whether I was loving others. But then at some point, I did. I was burdened and overwhelmed by the state of my sin and my inability to get out of it on my own. The Lord in His kindness had put in my heart that godly grief that leads to repentance. Thankfully, the Lord gave me increasing victory over sexual sin and set me on a path to use my tongue to edify others rather than to tear them down. Little by little, I grew in the Lord. I was taught that Christians read the Bible and that most Christians read the Bible in the morning before they do other things. So I did that. I got up early before middle school and did a method of reading the Bible I was taught that was essentially write down a scripture that stands out to you, observe what it means, apply it to your life specifically, and then write out a physical prayer to the Lord on that scripture and other issues in your life. So I did that. I filled a journal and another journal, then another journal. I continued to be taught the Bible at church and by my youth pastor, and I started to want to tell other people about what I was reading in the Bible. My youth pastor gave me opportunities to lead small groups of youth and then to teach occasionally in the gathered youth group. A little bit later, he brought me to the Gospel Coalition Conference and talked to me about theology as we kayaked rivers in the back bays of Florida's coast. We talked about pastoral ministry and for a few years about my potential desire to be in full-time vocational ministry. I said I wanted to be a youth pastor because I loved my youth pastor and I wanted to do for others what he did for me. But then I wrestled because I heard people say things like, if you can do anything else, do something else. I thought I could do something else in theory. And yet I couldn't shake this overwhelming burden to teach, this overwhelming desire to do nothing else but to explain the Bible to other people and to show them the glories of God's Word. One day I was mowing my lawn listening to a sermon by Tripp Lee, and it wasn't a sermon about preaching or preachers or anything like that, but I just remember listening to it and thinking, this is what I want to do. I had the sense, I don't want to do anything but do that. So I redirected my life. I texted my youth pastor, and I got on the fast track to doing just that. So in 2017, my youth pastor brought me here to Louisville to come to the Here We Stand conference at Southern, commemorating the 500th year anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. I heard great preaching the whole week, and I remember sitting in the Legacy Hotel with my pastor and another brother thinking, this is incredible, if only I could hear this kind of teaching every day. In 2020, my pastor brought me to the Shepherd's Conference, and I considered going to Master's Seminary, but I figured moving to California wouldn't help my lack of money situation, and Southern seemed just as good or better for what I needed. So I enrolled in undergrad at my state school with some scholarships and prayed that the Lord would give me an opportunity to go to Southern Seminary. At this time, I was deeply burdened by the fact that I had no money. I had no idea how I was going to come up with $5,000 or $6,000 a year. At the time I was considering this, I had just scraped by the ability to pay for a car that a family friend had basically just given to me. And apart from that car, I basically had $500 to my name. Sometime around junior or senior year of high school, I was telling my sister, who's a believer, about how burdened I was by my ability to pay for these things. I felt trapped. She said in a gracious but firm way, Carlo, the Bible tells us not to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry of its own. How are you going to worry about 3 years from now? And it was a word fitly spoken. So I prayed to the Lord, and I tried to save every penny I could. I worked as a manager of a restaurant, trying to save up money. And by the Lord's grace, I saved enough money to move, to marry that good theology youth group girl, and to take her to Louisville. Without a job, but enough money to make it 6 months with tuition and expenses, and the hope that I could figure it out from there. So Adrian and I moved here to Louisville, and the Lord provided me a job, Adrian a job, and a few scholarships, as well as a sister that decided to send us some money to support us. The Lord, semester by semester, provided us far more abundantly than we could have ever asked or imagined. The Lord gave me a scholarship that paid for the rest of my seminary, with even a few books on top. After my first class at SBTS, I remember walking home from Bruce Ware's tearful and victorious declaration of God's providence in all things, and I felt as if I might just see the sky split open and the Lord descend to call us all home. I had never seen the truth of God's word and the logic of the whole Bible put together with such clarity and passion by a man who had clearly been with God. Our second Sunday in Louisville, we came to Emmanuel because we heard of it from our neighbors Jin and Lin Yang. I initially was considering a significantly less healthy church, but that had many opportunities to teach like I did in my home church. I thought if I was going to be in ministry, I needed to be doing ministry and not have the pastors be unreachable. And there was some truth to that. But I met a Brazilian brother who worked at the gym at Southern named Joao, and he heard me out and kindly said, yeah, I get that, but for me, I've never been in a healthy church, and I've never seen a healthy elder board, and I've actually just been blessed to see what a faithful church member does. And that stuck with me. So then I decided to look for a church a bit more healthy, and that also had a few opportunities to teach and be equipped. One of the first Sundays we came to Emmanuel, Evan Calvin preached and announced that he would love anyone who would want to serve in college ministry. So we came to Emmanuel, and I reached out to Evan, and he laid out ways to serve, but also with some clear expectations and that it would take some time to get there. We went away for the summer, but when we got back, I reconnected with Evan, and he was kind enough to give me some opportunities to teach and preach over time. After a while, Aaron and Thompson and I were able to teach every couple of weeks while getting feedback from Evan and laboring to bring the gospel to bear at U of L. Through that time, I attended the pastoral apprenticeship and was built up by great feedback and great preaching as we thought about theology, clarified and sharpened one another. At SBTS and in the pastoral apprenticeship, I found the brothers I knew must exist somewhere. Men committed to knowing and proclaiming God's word, these meek servants of Christ hoping to preach life to dead bones. The longer I've been at Emmanuel, the more I've experienced what the Puritans call experiential religion. experiential religion is just this idea that deep theology, deep thinking, and deep study of the Bible results in deep piety, meaning we love the Lord Jesus and we love one another more as we study deeply in those things. They are inseparable. Some people want to see deep theology without great love, compassion, mercy, or righteousness. And others want to see the piety without the work that it takes to study God's word. They ignore the fact that the omniscient God chose to reveal himself to us in a revelation of words. The more I've gotten to sit under the preaching of our elders, the more I have seen both my wife and I's love for the Lord Jesus increase and our marriage built up. We often marvel at the clarity and precision of the application to our lives. After I became a believer, I started to enjoy preaching and teaching the Bible, and then at some point, I started to enjoy the idea of teaching the Bible to people. But the longer I've been at Emmanuel, I don't just enjoy teaching the Bible to people or even God's people. I enjoy teaching the Bible to you, Emmanuel. It is one of the greatest encouragements in my life to stand up in one of our adult education classes and to help you see the Bible more clearly as I have thought through it studying that week. When I hear you bring up applications and connections that are shaped from the content we've discussed, it brings me great joy. I've been built up at Emmanuel by great preaching on Sunday and bass bellowing hymns before pancakes at 6 a.m. on Friday or 8 a.m. on a Saturday. I've been stirred up as you mourned the loss of loved ones and rejoiced in marriages and the birth of children. I have been convicted of my own sin as I hear sisters confess their gossip and lack of submissiveness to their husbands, and husbands confess failing to live with their wives in an understanding way. It would be one of my greatest joys to serve you in one small measure as your elder, that we might all be built up and make it all the way home.